Welcome to the Gas Street Podcast. Our vision as a church is to be light for the city.
We really hope you enjoy this message.
So good to be with you guys. My name is Michael Miller. I pastor a community in Dallas, Texas. If you can't tell, I'm not from these parts. I have had such a blast the last 3 days with your pastors and your team. We had an amazing conference at prayer and worship. How many of you were able to attend that? Oh, just a handful. Okay, well, we missed you. It was incredible. We had a brilliant time, to use Tim's word. Hey, wasn't that amazing, that spontaneous flow we just got into? How many of you, that's kind of like a new environment? Like you, for me, I didn't grow up in an environment where the pastor hands the mic off to people in the seats to sing. How many of you grew up that way? Okay, how many of you didn't grow up that way? Okay, the majority of you. Well, do you know that it's actually very biblical? There's a number of words that describe praise in Hebrew. And one of the things I think that would be really helpful, we'll see where the Lord takes this, but I think it would be helpful maybe to just put some theology around what we just experienced, because there's expressions of praise that you were wired to bring to the Lord. You were made to praise him. When God knitted you, when he formed you in your mother's womb, he put purpose inside of you, and you were made to worship. You were made to praise your God. You were made for that. And sometimes when we get in environments and we're throwing the mic around like, I was going to sing a little bit, but I can't remember what it was. What was Lawrence singing? What were you singing? Where's Lawrence? Was it Lawrence? Francis. Where's Francis? Where's the man? There he is. Bro, what were you singing? Sing again one more time. You got a beautiful voice. Come on. Flow to you. Flow to you. I mean, there's something on that. So why, let me ask you a question. Why did you sing that? Did it just bubble up in your heart? What's that? It's been brewing for a long time. There's certain things that brew inside of you. And oftentimes it's the Holy Spirit that's ushering something inside of your heart. And this form of praise, it's called tequila praise. Everyone say tequila. So it's not the Mexican liquor tequila. It sounds like that. We're not talking about tequila. We're talking about tequila. Tequila is one of the words for praise in the Hebrew. And here's what tequila means. It means spontaneous, means to shine, to boast, to celebrate. But it refers to a spontaneous, exalted song of praise directed to God. It's not just any kind of praise. It often implies a new song, a song burst from the heart, an unrehearsed outpouring of adoration. That's a definition for praise in the Bible. And here's one of the places that tequila praise is used. It's used in Psalms 22, where it says this, "The Lord is enthroned." Does anyone know this verse? "The Lord is enthroned upon the praises of his people." Now that word for praise is tequila praise, that the Lord is enthroned upon a spontaneous, impromptu prompting from the Holy Spirit in your heart to sing to the Lord. So what does that mean? What does it mean that the Lord would be enthroned upon the praises of his people? So the Lord is always enthroned. Whether you're aware of this or not, Jesus is on a throne. So the Lord is always enthroned. Are you with me? I need some feedback. So is the Lord enthroned? Like, whether you know Jesus is Lord or not, he's Lord. The reality is when the gospel's preached, you come to this realization, oh my gosh, Jesus is Lord. He's unchanging. He's eternal. This is truth. And so If we say this phrase, like the Lord is enthroned upon the Tehillah praise of his people, what it means is that reality, the reality of him being enthroned shows up. It's not just the theology. It's not just me saying, hey, he's enthroned. It's when a spontaneous phrase comes forth, the reality of his lordship shows up. How does it show up? It's worth asking. What does that mean for it to show up? Well, in this context tonight, the way that the Lord would show up and be enthroned is he would be enthroned by his presence or his spirit. And so when you started singing about the river flowing to us, there was faith on what you were singing, and there was a reality to those words that, yes, we could say it, but when the Holy Spirit's authoring it, it's those realities get enthroned in real time. Does this make sense? These instruments and these giftings have significant purpose for us to understand in those moments that it's not just us being weird. It's not just Tim like, oh, this sounds good, I'm gonna put the mic there. There's a spiritual ramification to you being free to sing that spontaneous song. Now, whether you had a mic or not, something's happening and you sense that in your heart. Am I right? And so the Lord is enthroned upon the praises of his people. And here's one of the things about when the Lord's enthroned by his presence, the Spirit of the Lord, he comes with intent. Like the Lord has a purpose in his entry. He doesn't just kind of come in to hang out. Now he will linger and he'll linger, but there's something to him being enthroned that brings fruit. It brings truth to us. And one of the things the Bible says is where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? There's freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So let's connect some dots here. Tehillah praise, the Lord's enthroned upon the spontaneous praise, a song sung, he's enthroned. So the Spirit of the Lord comes upon these words, and there's a manifestation of his lordship that releases freedom to our hearts. Now, what would you need to be freed from? Maybe other things that are attempting to lord themselves over you. You kind of walked in here limping. You're a little heavy because of a circumstance that you're going through. Maybe you're feeling some anxiety. Maybe you looked at pornography today and you're coming in condemned. But through the spontaneous song, this idea that the Lord can be enthroned in reality, real time, there's purpose to that. And he releases freedom from his enthronement because there's only true freedom under his lordship. Am I right? So I believe the Holy Spirit's coming tonight to free and liberate. I feel like he wants to liberate us. I feel like he wants to manifest himself as Lord to set us free from things that are attempting to lord themselves over us. The Bible says in John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to a woman at a well. And, you know, it's this exchange. It's an interesting exchange. She was thirsty, coming for water. He was thirsty. Then it changes from physical water to spiritual water. You know, if you knew the water that I had, you'd ask me for something to drink. I have living water. And then the conversation moves into worship. And in John 4, it says that the Father, through the words of Jesus, the Father is looking for worshipers. Are y'all familiar with this story? It says he's looking for worshipers. So here's one thing. He's not looking for worship. He's looking for worshipers. He's looking for hearts. And he's looking for worshipers who worship him in spirit and in truth. Spirit and truth. So I just said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom. But do you know the other thing? He's looking for worshipers who worship in spirit and truth. Truth is another prescriptive for freedom. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. So spirit and truth bring freedom to our hearts. So let me connect some dots. In the Tehillah praise, he's enthroned by his spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, but it's also the Spirit of truth. So the Spirit can lead us into truth that that actually enables us to experience the freedom that's only found in an environment where the lordship of the Spirit is present and the Spirit of truth is liberating us maybe from lies and things that we're living under. This to me is the power of an environment where saints gather. That we have the ability to shift atmospheres. That there's a difference between us being in this space and the bar down the road. Because there's a real present God in this room. And at our church, Upper Room in Dallas, we've been experimenting with this for some time. We have daily prayer from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day. We have over 300 people that show up starting at 5:30 in the morning. We have teams of 12 people, and every 6 a.m. has 12 people on it. They get behind a piano, they get behind drums. We have an intercessor, we have three or four singers. There's other instrumentalists that are on there. And oftentimes the room's empty. It's crazy to me. No one's in there. But they show up, and they show up to minister to Jesus. They show up to sing songs to Jesus. They show up to offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. And there's been this environment in our community that's been cultivated for now 15 years. We've been doing this. We have thousands of hours logged in the place of prayer. And I'm not putting a pat on my back or saying, look at us. I'm just saying there was this assignment from the Lord for us to gather people to worship and praise. And so when I'm talking about Tehillah praise, that happens every single day in the room that my office is next to. And oftentimes I will peek my head out the room because we'll have hundreds of people show up to the place of prayer on like a Tuesday at 12. And I'll peek my head out, and the expressions of freedom happening in that room are wild. There's people that are dancing. Some people have flags. Some people are, I'll hear tears outside my office. Someone's encountering God. What's happening? What's happening is that the presence of the Lord is being enthroned upon the praises of people. And those atmospheres transform lives. Atmospheres where we participate in these spiritual activities, where we sing these songs. Things happen. And I don't want you to miss that. I don't want you to miss the faith that he's authoring right now. And I want us to sing spontaneously a little bit more. But here's what happens. Here's another image that I have. I've used this several times. You know, one of the greatest things you can leave this room with tonight, and song is a great vehicle for this to happen. But one of the great things that you can leave with tonight in this room is faith. It's faith. Faith is so important for believers. The Bible says that the just walk by what? Faith. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. We don't walk by feelings, we walk by faith. You know, you can't please God without in Romans it says anything not done in faith is a sin. Faith is really, really important, but sometimes it's this ethereal thing, like just brother have faith. It's like, well, what do you mean? I think in environments like what we were just experiencing, there are environments where God is authoring faith. Do you know that he's not looking for your faith? It's not your faith that he's after. He's after faith that he put inside of you. What do you mean, Michael? Hebrews 12 says, we throw off everything entangles, sin that so easily entangles. And he says, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and sustainer of our faith. So who authors faith? Who authors faith? So let me propose this analogy to you for a second. When we're entering in the gates with thanksgiving, courts with praise, and we're coming before the throne of God when we're worshiping him. And again, in an environment like this, it's where the Spirit of the Lord enters into the room. I have this image in my head oftentimes when the saints gather and we start singing praise and the Holy Spirit manifests. I pay attention to that. The image that I have in my head is I see Jesus bursting into the room. And as we're singing, and let's just imagine, I don't know if I can open this door, but we enter the gates with thanksgiving. So we're coming before the Lord. We enter the gates with thanksgiving. We enter the courts with praise. We're coming into the place of worship. Now, all of this on this side of heaven is us engaging the Holy Spirit. But the image that I have in my head when we're doing that is, does anyone have a pen? Let's just imagine my microphone's a pen. Oh, you've got one, okay. So what is Jesus the author of? He's the author of faith. This is a pen. So the image that I have many times when we're coming before the Lord and the presence of God starts to be enthroned in moments like that, I see Jesus enter the room, not like physically, but in my imagination, I see Jesus enter the room. And I feel like he's like this. As we draw near to him, he what? Draws near to us. And the image in my head is I see Jesus like, oh my gosh, they're gathering. My people are gathering. My people are gathering. They're praising me. They're thanking me. And here he shows up, and I want you to have this image in your head. I feel like he's carrying a pen. Because as we bring an offering, as we're approaching him with something, there's actually an exchange. You're not gonna outgive him. And so the reason why we enter in with thanksgiving is we don't show up before the Lord empty-handed. We're bringing something to him. The best thing to say to God every day is thank you. And so thanksgiving, it's this little hinge that opens up the door of our hearts. And I could show you throughout scripture the power of thanksgiving. The Lord's enthroned upon the praises of his people. But thanksgiving's a form of praise. And so as we enter in with thanksgiving, he's being enthroned upon the praise of thanksgiving. Our hearts have hinges. You may not know this, but our hearts have hinges. And when you learn to praise the Lord, what it's doing to your heart is it's opening your heart up before the Lord. It's the power of thanksgiving. Like this is a wall behind me. You guys can't see it. You can see a wall over here. But do you know the difference between a wall and a door? The difference between this wall and that door, even if that was made of brick, you can't open a wall, but you can open a door. Why? Because there's hinges on it. And truth be known, is in this room tonight, there were some of you that actually praised the Lord and you brought an offering and those hinges opened your heart up to him. But some of us never made it past the threshold of getting beyond ourselves and our hearts end up staying like this wall. Closed off, I just broke your pen. I'm a mess, I'm jet lagged. He's been making me preach a whole lot. I really want you to get this. It's like the ABCs of approaching the Lord. Thanksgiving's so important because as we're giving something, we're actually positioning our hearts to receive. And what are we gonna receive from the Lord? Well, you're gonna receive a stroke from his hand. He's gonna put faith inside of you. That's his desire, is that you would leave in faith tonight. What's your faith in? Your faith is in who he is. It's in his character. It's in his nature. We were singing tonight about his holiness. We were singing tonight about the throne room. There were certain dynamics that were being highlighted by the Holy Spirit. And what he's doing is he's imparting faith into our hearts. Things that we probably already know, but in the moment when the Holy Spirit's enthroned and Jesus is authoring those phrases in our hearts, it puts substance to our faith. I've experimented this now for 10 years of gathering people regularly and singing to Jesus together and the Holy Spirit coming upon the praises of his people and then God authoring faith in our hearts through revelations around the person of Jesus. It's really powerful. Faith is a substance. This table's a substance. And so oftentimes when I'm in settings and the Holy Spirit is present, I'm looking for what the Holy Spirit is talking about. And his favorite subject is a person. His name's Jesus. And he comes to reveal his nature. He comes to reveal his beauty. He comes to reveal his character. He comes to reveal certain aspects of the Lord that only he can reveal. And as that happens, there's a freedom that hits our hearts. And that freedom is in the reality of who he is and the truth of who he is. Because we can get pretty confused. We need daily reminders, am I right? And there's power in you positioning your heart before the Lord with these two words, thank you. We talk about the power of deliverance. I could show you throughout scripture the power of those two words, thank you. You know Jonah, you're familiar with the story of Jonah? Like Jonah was just running from God. He's like, you're gonna go to Nineveh, you're gonna preach. And he's like, I'm out of here. And he turns and runs the other way. He's on a boat. Boat hits turmoil. They throw him off the ship, realizing he's running from God. And what swallows him up? A whale. How many days was he in the well? He was in the well for 3 days. Do you know what got him out of the whale? This is a profound reality. I was reading this one day, and I thought, there's no way this is what got him out of the well. In Jonah chapter 2, it's verse 9 and 10. It says in verse 9, Jonah's in a prayer, and he says this, I with shouts of grateful praise. In the Amplified, it says, I with shouts of grateful praise, shouts of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you. I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. The next verse is this, then, everyone say then. Then the Lord commanded the fish and it spit Jonah out onto dry land. How did he get out of the whale? Tehillah praise. There was a thank you in his heart. And God responded to that and turned the trajectory of his life, spit him on the shore, and the evangelist enters into Nineveh, and with 8 words, the city turns to repentance. But it was the words thank you that ushered him out of that dark pit. That's profound. At least I think it is. Do you know how Jesus got Lazarus out of the grave? You can study it. Sits outside. He'd been dead 4 days. Everyone had been crying. Jesus had just been crying. And you know, he looks to heaven, and this is what he said. Father, I thank you. He raises the dead through the power of these two words. Father, I thank you. Lazarus, come out. You know how Jesus multiplied the fish and the bread? Profound story, one you're very familiar with. 5 loaves, 2 fish, they bring to him what he has everyone sit down. He takes his lack and he looks up to heaven in John 6. And he says, Father, thank you. And through the offering of thanks through the little, he multiplies that food and feeds the masses. Now, I love that story. But later on in John 6, verse 23, it says the next day they took the boats across to Tiberias. They went to another city. And then they came back around from Tiberias, and I believe they came back to the place, and it doesn't say, the Bible doesn't record the next day, the place where the Lord multiplied the food and the bread. Doesn't say that in verse 23. Again, speaking of the next day, speaking of the place where the food and bread were multiplied. This is how heaven recorded it eternally in scripture. It says they returned back to the place where Jesus gave thanks. It wasn't the place where he multiplied fish and bread. It was the place where he gave thanks according to heaven. And to me, the powerful example of him giving thanks on this field was the miracle from heaven's perspective, that there was someone with little, someone with not enough, and yet a grateful heart for what they had multiplied that provision. And heaven goes, oh my gosh, in the lack, we found someone grateful. That's powerful, especially if you don't have anything tonight. And there's a lot of young people in here. I mean, your bank account ain't full, but if you get thankful for what you have and you start tithing and utilizing the resources you have, watch God multiply it. Come on, he'll bless your crypto, I promise. I got a text thread with all these American young millennial kids. It's called Crypto Revival. I don't know if y'all are into crypto, but they're all like, I guess crypto's down. They're like, buy the dip. And I'm like, you guys just need to get thankful. God will multiply what you have. Isn't this powerful? There is power in Thanksgiving. Do you know? I think you can actually get sanctified through Thanksgiving. What's sanctified? It means that sanctification is the process of becoming holy. Like, we're justified by faith. It's our position, but we're walking out our salvation, and that's the process of sanctification. So if you're struggling with pornography, I've walked with guys that do this. If you're struggling with pornography, I prayed for someone today. They said, I'm an evangelist. I'm doing all kinds of things. He was fired up for God, but he said, I have an addiction. He's really clear about his addiction. He's struggling with pornography. And I didn't actually give him this advice tonight, but I've walked with several guys, and I've said, let's get you free of this through Thanksgiving. They're like, what are you talking about? How am I going to get free from this from Thanksgiving? Well, let's talk. What is Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is positioning yourself to receive what only you can from the Lord. So why don't you start thanking him for the forgiveness that he's already given you, your past, your present, your future sins. Start by saying thank you. Start by acknowledging what you have access to. In light of what you've done, start thanking him. And thanking him until faith hits your heart that you actually believe that you're grateful for what he's given you. Thanksgiving, it's like kickstarting a bike. If you've had a bike and you're like, this thing won't start. Your heart is that way. But as you start to really offer up thanksgiving, it's like kickstarting your heart. And eventually you start to believe that which you're giving thanks for. And I would say that's when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon the praise of a heart that's giving thanks. We lead sets every stinking day. I'm in the prayer room. And the number one thing I'm looking for is people that know how to rightly approach the Lord and say thank you. There's a right way to come before him. And it's through these two words, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, in Romans chapter 1, you want to open up the Bibles, we'll make it official real quick. Go to Romans 1 really fast. And then I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to have that brother come sing again in a second. Romans chapter 1, this is it's a theological mountain. It's a big one. And in Romans chapter 1, verses 22, we'll start in 20, sorry. It says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Meaning, because of creation, they would have a limited knowledge of God. But you can look at creation and see the creator behind the creation. That's what Paul's saying here. And in verse 21, it says, for even though they knew God, how many of you know God tonight? Even though they knew God, it says they did not honor him as God or give thanks. There's our theme. They did not honor him as God or give thanks. I'll come back to that in a second. But they became futile in their speculations and foolish. Their foolish hearts were darkened. So let me sum up verses 22 through 32. 22 through 32 is everything wrong with mankind. Listen to this. It became futile in their mind, foolish in their hearts. Lust consumed them. Their body was dishonored. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They worshiped the created instead of the creator. They got twisted in their passions and desires. They were given over to homosexuality. They were full of envy, wickedness, greed, hate, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, gossip, backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, boastful. In fact, at one point in this letter, Paul actually mentions, it's so funny, in one of the verses here, it says that they became inventors of evil. In essence, Paul is saying, if I haven't covered it, I'm going to cover it with this front one phrase. They're going to invent ways of being evil. That's Romans chapter 1. They were disobedient to their parents, refused to understand, break their promises. They were heartless. They had no mercy. So this covers the gamut of our fallenness. And yet, here's a critical key to this chapter, because we can look at all that's wrong. But if we go back to verse 21, we see how everything became wrong. For although they knew God, they didn't do two things. They didn't honor God and they didn't thank God. And one of the highest ways we honor God is by living lives of gratitude. And in my world, we were in the homosexual community where we planted our church. It was dark, graveyard. People were yelling at us. They didn't want a church in this area. And instead of dealing with the problems, I felt like the Lord said in verse 21, why don't you just daily gather in the neighborhood and thank me and watch what I do? And that became the mandate for our church. Well, what does Upper Room do? They sit in a room and they give thanks to God. Really? That's really all we did in the early days. We gathered to give thanks. And I've watched God take our little offerings, our daily offerings of thanksgiving and praise, and I've watched him multiply them and feed a generation. I've watched a worship community come forth. I've watched creativity flow. I've watched souls, salvations. I've watched homosexuals, just people that were bound in sin, come out of that and give their life to Jesus. But I attribute it to this one activity. It was a community that showed up with gratitude daily. There's power in thanksgiving. But what's interesting is what they weren't doing in Romans 1, if you go to Revelation chapter 4, verse 9, it describes the throne room of God. I'm gonna end here. Here's the description, Revelation 4, 9. In verse 2, it says, pick up here on what this chapter's about, okay? What is Revelation 4 talking about? I'm just gonna give you some descriptions. Chapter 4, verse 2, a throne was standing in heaven. 4:2, one sitting on the throne. 4:3, around the throne. 4:4, around the throne. 4:5, out from the throne. 4:5, before the throne. 4:6, before the throne. 4:6, the middle of the throne. 4:6, around the throne. 4:9, sits on the throne. 4:10, sits on the throne. 4:10, before the throne. Chapter 5, verse 1, on the throne. What is this chapter about? I keep looking over here. What's this chapter about? It's about a throne. It's like 12 times I just mentioned the throne. It's God's throne, it's his living room. But look at this, in verse nine, it says, the four living creatures who are near the throne, listen to what they do. They give glory, honor, and thanks. What weren't they doing in Romans chapter 1? Giving honor and what? So what they weren't doing on earth, they do naturally in heaven. What? They give honor and thanks. Why? Because it's the right response to knowing him. Little you approaching big him, just saying these two words, thank you. For what, my life? Thank you for what, your son? I love the liturgical church. They call the bread and wine, the Eucharist. In the Greek, that just means to give thanks. What does that mean? We're approaching his table with grateful hearts to receive what he's purchased for us. Meaning we lack nothing tonight. You're like, I have nothing to be thankful for. Oh, brother, I need to put you in faith. You have everything to be thankful for. That's why Paul would say, give thanks continuously. We are in constant, a triumphant procession because of our leader and what he's provided for us. There is power in you saying these two words, thank you, Jesus. Amen? Amen. That's my encouragement. Live thankful this week. The power of these two words, thank you. I mean, my three-year-old can do it. Well, when he was three, he could do it. He's now seven. He's so funny. Like, Truman, you're gonna pray. Well, I don't like to pray. No, you're gonna pray. Okay, thank you, God. Thank you for, and he names everything on his food that he likes. He removes the things he doesn't. And then another thing, here's what I love about Truman. Truman will open his eyes, his three siblings, two parents. He'll go, Lord, thank you for Dad. Thank you for Mom. Thank you for Hannah. Thank you for James. I'm like, you left off Salem. He goes, I know. What is he saying? He's saying, I ain't grateful for her today. It's something that is so elementary. It's like my three-year-old can do it. But as you mature in Jesus, it is the most common thing you say to him. Thank you. I don't know if heaven has a passcode other than Jesus, but if it did, it would be these two words, thank you. Because of what he's done and what we have access to. I think this is an entitled generation. And I think gratitude is sparse. Gratitude is sparse in this generation. And I believe God's raising up a generation that knows how to host the presence of God, knows how to respond to him, but they're not going, it's not going to be fulfilled unless a generation truly learns how to be grateful for the gospel and what they've received. And I believe this community, I'm ending with this. I've been preaching all weekend on house of prayer and establishing cultures marked by the presence of God. And I believe here in Birmingham, there's gonna be offerings of thanks for 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I believe Gastry's gonna be that. And I believe he's gonna multiply those and feed the nations. Whether it's songs, sounds, sermons, salvations, testimonies, I feel like through gratitude, a gate's gonna open. The hinge that sets through Thanksgiving is gonna open up a blessing to this nation that floods. And it won't be just this Thanksgiving revival, but it's gonna be, the beginnings will be found in gratitude. And God's gonna usher in something that only he can. And so here's what I wanna do. I wanna pray for you. If you're struggling tonight, if you're like, man, I don't even know Miller. I don't know if God's real. I'm struggling with this. This is just like sugary. I don't know what it is. I'm having a hard time laying hold of it. This altar call's for you. I want you, if you're struggling with your faith, you're struggling, limping through life, wondering where God is, wondering where Jesus is, I want you to stand to your feet and I wanna kickstart your heart. I wanna get you rolling. I feel like God's gonna really resurrect some things by the power of his spirit. So if that's you, I'm just gonna ask you to boldly stand up. This is me, I need this. You're a brave man, thank you. Anyone over here? Let's go, don't be bashful. There we go, let's go. Here's our little boys with fishes and loaves. This is powerful. All right, would you just put your hands out? Just put your hands out. And I want you to begin thanking God. You can close your eyes. I just want you to begin to thank God. And if you're sitting, I encourage you to do this too, but for these guys that are standing up, I want you to thank God. Just close your eyes, if you can, verbally, if you're comfortable saying it, just begin to thank him. Thank him for the clothes on your back. Thank him for the house that you're living in. Thank him for that breath you just took. Thank him for your health. Thank him for today. Start just thanking him for the littlest things you can think of. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that I'm here in Birmingham at Gastry. Just start to tell him thank you until you feel something shift in your heart. And if you feel that shift in your heart, I want you to raise your hands higher. As you feel the presence of God entering your heart through Thanksgiving, I just want those hands to go higher and higher and higher. Lord, thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you see me. Thank you that you know me. Thank you that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you for your purposes. Thank you for your plans, plans of hope, plans of a future. Thank you for your son. Thank you for the sacrifice of your son. Thank you for his broken body. Thank you for his blood. Thank you for, Lord Jesus, redemption that we have in him. The forgiveness of sins. We bless you, Lord. Woo! All right, now if your friend is standing up, I want you to put your hands on them. Just lay a hand on them, and I want you to begin thanking God for their life. You guys can move about the cabin. It's cool. We don't have seatbelts. Right here, a hand here. Can we put a hand on him right there? Just turn around, lay a hand on him. We have ministry team, you can move about the cabin, but right, brother right here, can we just put hands, just everyone needs a hand on them. And I want you to verbally say, hey, if you don't know their name, ask him their name. And then I want you to prophesy through Thanksgiving. I want you to prophesy, Lord, thank you for their life. Thank you for your purposes. Thank you for your plans. Just start praying over them. Ready, set, go. Let them hear you. Activate. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you, Lord, for these lives. We honor you for these people. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness over them, your banner that is love that is over their life, Lord. Thank you that their days are numbered before you. Thank you that if they're born again, Lord, their name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for security in your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If we could get someone on the keys, we'll just end in a song. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. praise you. Praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. If you're being prayed for and you feel that shift in your heart, just wave your hands. Just say, there's something shifted in me. Thank you, God. We love you. We honor you, Lord. Multiply the bread. Pray deliverance, Lord, tonight. Anyone struggling with sin, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the power of your blood. Thank you for the flow of your blood to these hearts tonight. Lord, we honor your blood. We honor the power of your blood. There's freedom tonight. All right, we're going to do one more exercise. One more exercise. I know it's 8:45. We're going to do one more exercise. There's a story. Oh, you stop praying. Everyone look up here really quickly. There's a story in Acts 16. Paul and Silas are thrown into the inner parts of a prison. And they were beaten earlier that day. It's getting dark around midnight. And the Bible explicitly says that at midnight, they began singing hymns of praise. Singing hymns of praise in a dark dungeon after a really bad day. And I can only imagine the other prisoners in the cell going, dude, who are the new guys? Like, why are they singing? It's midnight. You know, they're like, shut up. Their plight. These guys have been there for a long time, but two men showed up with gratitude, with hymns of praise, and they started singing. And let's just imagine that the Will Reagan song was out at the time, and they sing this. Again, in a prison, but they were like, there is power in the name of Jesus. Y'all know this song? There is power in the name of Jesus. They're like, shut up, we're asleep. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Break every what? Break every chain? Wait, sing that again. There is power in the name of Jesus. What's filling up faith? Keep singing. In the name of Jesus. Everyone stand to their feet. Stand to your feet. Stand. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. As they began singing hymns of praise, I believe the Lord who is enthroned upon that praise, the Lord who is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. All of a sudden it says the foundation of the jail cell shook and all the prison doors opened up. Because of two men's praises, all were impacted by it. Man, this is the power of you giving praise and thanksgiving. Let's sing that one more time and then we'll call it a day. There is power in the name of Jesus. Do we believe it? There is power in the name of Jesus. Sing it in faith, sing it in faith. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. All right, hey, there's a ministry team up here. If you have chains tonight, they're coming out. If you're in some type of prison, the door has been opened. Come and receive prayer tonight. In Jesus' name. Let's sing it one more time.
Thanks for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out.
If you want to find out more, visit our website, gastreet.org, or follow us on Instagram @gastreetchurch.